Now let's take a closer look at this here. And by the way, what is meant by the flesh? You know, that's not a term that, for people who are religious, who know the scriptures, or who have some type of religion in their lives, that term is familiar. And of course, we all know, well, what is the flesh? Of course, it's referring to carnality, right? But in you'd be surprised, out in the world, people really don't understand necessarily what you mean when you say that. That's a concept that's more, it's more of an ancient way of putting things, but in our modern concept, we would think of it as being carnally minded or minding things that are sensual, maybe you put it that way. So let's go back to verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. And I want us to notice that at the outset. These things, that is the flesh and the Spirit, are in opposition to one another. There's no getting around that, brethren. There's no whitewashing that. There's no coordinating that. And young people especially, I really want you to pay close attention to that. You can't dabble. You know, you can't dangle your feet. You know, be partway in and partway out. You can't be on a fence partway in and partway out, because it's going to lead to trouble. Those things are in opposition to one another. Okay? And if you are led by the Spirit, it says in verse 18, you are not under the law, meaning under the penalty of the law. When you look at the scriptures, there is a certain penalty if you disobey the law, and this is really what it's referring to. If you are, of course, if it's a conditional, if you are led by the Spirit. And then it goes, proceeds, and tells you what the deeds of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay, now, over in verse 16, it refers to the desire of the flesh. Let's get a few definitions here. Definitions are always good, especially when you're dealing with something that's in translation. The word desire, the desire of the flesh, and in some other versions, it's lust, the lust of the flesh. The word is number 1939 in the Greek, number 1939. The word is epithumia, and it means a longing, and especially for what is forbidden, a longing. You know, in other words, you're longing for something, you want something, and usually something that's forbidden. Excuse me. You know, why is it, and this is just a, and I'm going to throw in little commentaries and examples as we go through. Why is it that when someone is married, someone of the same, you know, someone of the opposite sex, that's not your marriage partner, might be attractive to that person? Usually, brethren, it's because it's a forbidden relationship. It happens when your children, when you're not necessarily children, but young people especially, fall into that trap where what they don't realize that one of the reasons why they crave certain things is because it is forbidden to them. It's a psychological thing. It's almost like a reverse psychology. If it's forbidden, then it must be something really good that's hiding back there. Now, you even go back to the Garden of Eden, and you look at the fact that Yahweh said to them, you can choose from this tree and from anything in the garden you may eat, but you will not eat from this particular tree. So which is the first one that you're going to automatically turn to? It's going to be that particular tree, right? Because everything else, you kind of take it for granted, okay? And the same thing with any of these things. Why are things that are forbidden to people the most appealing? A secret. Let's not even go to something sexual or violent or drug-related. A secret of any kind. Why are secrets so juicy and so appealing to people? Because you know something that somebody else doesn't. It's a piece of knowledge that somebody else has that you can have, that you can possess. And it, for whatever reason, it gives you a rush to want to know that. So we always have to be very careful with things that are forbidden to us, brethren. Because there's a reason that they're forbidden to us, but that's also what makes it attractive to us, and that's dangerous. But the word epithumia, this is what I'm trying to bring out here, means a longing, especially for what is forbidden, the desire of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. Now, what is this term flesh? The word is number 4561, 4561 in the Greek. The word is sarx, and it means flesh or the body. It's the symbol of what is external. In other words, your body is external, right? You can't see the mind. You can't see the spirit, but you can see the body. That's the external, right? By implication, though, when you look at these definitions, by implication, the word sarx is referring to human nature with its various frailties. And those frailties can be physical, they can be moral. So when you talk about sarx or flesh, it means, by implication, human nature with its frailties, physically or morally, and with its passions. In other words, someone is carnally minded. It's the carnal part It's paying attention to the, when someone is moving according to the flesh, they're carnally minded. They're paying attention to their passions and their desires, as opposed to their inner being or the spiritual.